made available to us, and you drew us by your Holy Spirit, and we said yes, and you saved us. You brought us in. All we had to do was say yes. All we had to do was believe. We thank you, and we praise you, and we thank you that you've got good plans. Now that we're in your kingdom and in your family, you've got good plans for each one of us, and thank you for revealing them to us. Thank you, Lord, for causing us to walk in your plans that you have for our lives. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we thank you for it. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord. I pray that you would open our hearts and give us revelation and understanding in your word and in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Good to see everybody tonight. Glory to God. Good to see you, Deborah. Hey, good to see you tonight. Good to see everybody tonight. We're in the last part of a series that we're calling Following God's Plan for Your Life. And we're going to give you a gold star if you've been here for every session. Have you guys been here every time? Okay, not every time. Okay, that's good because I don't have any gold stars to give out. So. Barbara has, so I got to find a gold star to give to Barbara. So Curtis probably has. Yeah, Curtis has. So I got. I better put up or shut up here, hadn't I? All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. And that's where we'll start tonight. It says, "For we," and this is in the New Living Translation, "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged." How many of us will stand before Christ to be judged? All of us will. "We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body." All right. So we're all going to stand before Christ one day to be judged. All right. And then Romans 14:12 is a companion scripture to that, where Paul writes to the Romans and he says, "So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." All right. So I want to be clear here that this is not a judgment regarding whether we go to heaven or not. Are we going to heaven or we're going to stand before Christ and be judged and we're going to find out if we go to heaven or hell? No, we've already passed that point when we get to this. Okay, this is called the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, the New King James says we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so this is a judgment for believers based on what we did in this life, what we did with our life, how we used the gifts that God gave to us, and whether or not we followed and carried out the plan that God has for our life. And so it's a pretty big deal that we talk about this subject, following God's plan for our life, because one day we're all going to stand before Jesus and He's going to ask us, "Did you follow the plan that I had for your life? Did you follow my plan?" And so we'll give an account to Him for that. Ephesians 2 talks about this and perspective as well. It says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." This salvation is a gift of God, and we're saved by grace, by God's grace, and through our faith. And the faith that we're saved with, He gave us that as well, because it's the Word of God that gives us faith. Come on in, ladies, and have a seat. Good to see you tonight. Praise God. So by grace we're saved through faith. He says, "And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship," God's workmanship. Look at this now. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so God already planned ahead of time good works for us to walk in. And it's not the good works that save us, but it's the good works that come after our salvation. It says it's by grace that we're saved through faith. We didn't earn that. We didn't merit that. We can't boast about that. But we're God's workmanship. And it says that we're created for good works and that God prepared those good works for us to walk in. So that sounds to me like He's got a plan for our lives. That sounds like what we read in earlier sessions in this series in Psalm 139, that all the days ordained for us were written in His book before one of them came to be. So He's got works, good works for us to walk in, good plans for us to walk in. It says God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So again, once we're saved, we become His workmanship, and we are created for these good works, and He's prepared them beforehand. So I need to discover, once I get saved, once I become a Christian, a child of God, then I need to discover the good plan that God has for me, and I need to walk in that plan. I need to seek God, and I need to find out those good works that He's prepared beforehand for me to walk in. What are they, Lord? What do you want me to do with my life? What have you gifted me to do? What have you put in me to fulfill and to carry out? What do I need to cultivate? And that's really the way it is. What do I need to cultivate that's on the inside of me to then live my life according to that? So 1 Corinthians 3, he's talking more about that. He says, for we are God's fellow workers. The King James says we're laborers together with God. What a privilege, you know, that we can be we can work with God. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And Paul's talking about his ministry and what he did. He said, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. What's he talking about there? He's talking about when he came and preached the gospel to the Corinthians, and wherever he went preaching the gospel, he laid the foundation. What was that? What was that foundation? Well, that he tells us what the foundation is. He said, I've laid the foundation. And let's read here, and then I'll say more about that. He said, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so what he's saying is when he came and preached the gospel, and those people believed here in Corinth and wherever he preached, when they believed on Jesus, that was the foundation of their building. That foundation was Jesus Christ. That's their salvation. And he said, now that you have the foundation laid, now it's up to you to build on that foundation. The foundation is our salvation through faith in Jesus. The building is our life and what we do in following God's plan, discovering and following God's plan for our life. That's going to determine what kind of building is built. Okay, that's what he's talking about here. And he says, let each one take heed or be careful or pay attention to how he builds on that foundation. He says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. He's talking about the different building materials that can be used to build on this foundation. And he's talking about it's like a house or a building. All right. And he says that based upon what we choose to do in our lives, whether or not we discover and follow God's plan or whether or not we just go on our way, that's going to determine what we're building with. If I seek God and I discover and determine what He wants me to do, and then I'm faithful to follow the plan that God has for my life, then I'm building with gold and with silver and with precious stones. If I just say, oh well, I'm saved now, but I can do anything I want, and I'm just going to live my life. I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm going to make the decisions now. It's Burger King, baby. I'm going to have it my way. All right. That's all right if you're ordering a hamburger. It's not all right if you're determining the course of your life. Amen. And so if I choose that, then I'm building with wood, with hay, and with straw. Does anybody remember the story of the three little pigs? The first little pig built his house with straw, right? And the next one built his house with sticks. And the third one built his house with bricks. With bricks, right? Well, what happened? Well, the big bad wolf eventually came blowing into town, right? And huffed and puffed and blew down the houses of the straw and the sticks. But then, you know, the little pigs came running to their brother's house. It was built out of brick, right? And they couldn't blow that house down. Okay, it's kind of the same parable here, except a little twist on it. It says in verse 13, he said, "Each one's work will become clear for what? The day. The day." What day is he talking about? He's talking about that day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking about that day when we will have to give an account of our life. And our life will be, in an analogy here, like a building, like a structure. And that day of judgment is going to come through like a fire, he says. And so the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Well, you know, again, let's talk about the building materials here. And if they're tested with fire, what's going to be left after the fire passes through? Well, if we've built on with wood, hay, and straw, when the fire passes through, what's going to be left? Nothing except the foundation. You ever seen there were tornadoes out in Perryton, Texas. So I think some in Alabama too the other day. You ever seen when a tornado comes through and you know there's nothing left of that house other than the foundation, the slab, right? It's still slab's still there, okay? And so that's what he says here. He says it'll be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work. If anyone's work which he's built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. Well, if we've built with gold, with silver, with precious stones, or in other words, if we've endeavored to follow God's plan for our life, then when that's judged, that's going to stand. That's going to endure. In other words, we wouldn't have wasted our life. Our life on this earth would not have been in vain. We would have invested it for eternity. We would have invested it furthering the kingdom of God. Amen. And I know that's what each one of us want to do. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Is he going to hell? No. He says he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. Why? Because the foundation was laid, and that foundation was Jesus, thank God. And so the good news in this is even if we get it wrong, even if we don't follow God's plan, but if we've received Him, if we've accepted Him, and we've continued to believe in Him, we'll be saved. But you don't want to be there on Judgment Day when you stand before Jesus to give an account of your life and say, and you know, you want Him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You don't want Him to have to say, "Well, you're done." Right? I borrowed that. That's not original, but I've always remembered that. I want Him to be able to say, "Well done," not, "Well, you're done," you know, and have to survey the smoldering ruins of a life that I just lived pursuing my own interest and doing my own thing. I want to be able to have something left to say, you know, "It's all by Your grace, and it's all by Your goodness and Your mercy, Lord, but I endeavored to follow Your plan, and here's what I have." And He'll be able to say, "Well done," to each one of us when we do that. Amen? All right. So, let's look at something that Paul said about that. He said, if anyone builds with the gold, silver, and precious, he's going to receive a reward. So here's what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 7. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Well, Paul knew that he, when we looked at Paul throughout this series, we looked at even the fact that when he was Saul of Tarsus and when he was still out persecuting the church, and Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and at that moment, you know, Saul knew, hey, I've been on the wrong road. You know, I've had this all wrong. He was very zealous, very religious and very zealous, but he was persecuting the church. He was trying to stop this gospel, this message of Jesus. He thought that was wrong, and he thought he needed to stamp it out. And then Jesus himself appears to him. And Paul writes about that in Galatians. He says, when it pleased God, who called me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. He said that day came, that appointed day came, when God said, okay, now it's time. I'm going to reveal myself to this man because I've called him from birth and I've given him an assignment. I've got a plan for his life. He's going to preach the gospel. He's going to preach Jesus among the Gentiles. Well, when that day came, Saul said yes. He said yes. And he went into Damascus, and the Lord sent Ananias to him. And he said he's a chosen vessel, told Ananias he's a chosen vessel. And the Lord told Ananias, go and lay your hands on Saul. And Ananias said, I don't think I want to do this. He's the guy that's been killing Christians. And the Lord said, no, go. He's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before kings and before the Gentiles. And he said, for I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my name. And so God began to show him and reveal to him the plan that he had for him. And Paul said, yes, I'll do that. And he followed it. And so now let's put the scripture back up there. So he says, I did that. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. In other words, he's saying, to the best of my ability, I followed the plan that God had for my life. Was he perfect? I'm sure he made some mistakes along the way, you know, but he did his best to follow God's plan, and he did it right to the very end. He said, I finished the race. I didn't retire when I got to be 67. I did it my entire life, he said. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Praise God. And then he says this in verse 8, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. What's he going to give to Paul? The crown of righteousness, a reward. And Paul says, though, but not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. In other words, this reward, this crown of righteousness, is available to anyone. And he says it's available to all who have loved his appearing. Or the New Living Translation says, to all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Praise God. So, how does that fit in? How does that fit in with following God's plan for our life? Well, it's a very significant key here. In other words, living with the consciousness that Jesus is coming back is a great motivating factor for us to follow God's plan for our lives. Knowing that we will stand before Him one day and give an account for our life should be a motivating factor. That, hey, I'm not just here to do my own. I see a lot of Christians never hear this. You know, whatever you do with it is up to you. But you can't blame me when you stand before Jesus and say, I never heard about this. He's going to say, don't you remember? Yeah, I saw you there. June the 21st at, 2023 at City on a Hill Church. You know, Pastor David told you about this. I said, well, how'd you know that, Lord? Well, he was just in the line a few people before you, and he reminded me of that. Hey, Lord, you see those folks coming? Don't let them plead ignorance when they stand before you. I told them, all right? I may not tell on you like that. I may leave that between you and the Lord. But a lot of Christians, I would say, never even hear about this, never even know about it. But we should know about it, amen? Because we're going to stand before them. And again, it's not something that should paralyze us with fear. It's not something that we should say, oh, this is awful. It's not something that should cause us to live our lives in dread and drudgery. No, not at all. But, Paul talked about joy. He said that I may finish my course with joy. In fact, let me find that. It won't be, we may not have it on the screen, but I think he says it exactly like that. In Acts chapter 20, yeah, he says, in Acts 20, verse 22, he says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy." Amen. And Curtis, thank you for getting it up there. "And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Wow. He said, "I've received a ministry from the Lord Jesus." Well, guess what? So have you. Amen. So have each one of us. And we ought to have the same attitude as Paul, that none of these things move us. The hardship, the opposition, the difficulties, because we will face all those that we face. But we want to finish our race, finish our course with joy. And the ministry which we received from the Lord Jesus. Praise God. We can all have that testimony. Amen? Amen. And so we're to live with the consciousness that Jesus is coming back. And he said, this crown of righteousness will be yours. Everybody that's loved his appearing, everybody that's lived with the consciousness that he's coming back and eagerly look forward to that. Praise God. Then we will get that reward, that crown of righteousness. Amen. And so let's go to Luke chapter 12, because Jesus told a parable there that explains this a little bit further. In Luke 12, verse 40, he says, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Then Peter said to him, "Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." So we see here Jesus is talking about a master. And he's talking about himself here. He's talking about himself, the Lord. So he gives an assignment to his servant, to his steward. And what is that assignment? That assignment is, he says back in verse 42, he says he's made ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. He's supposed to make sure that all the other servants in the household get fed. I really see the ministry of a pastor right here. You know, that's my main job, is to make sure you get fed the Word of God. And so that's what he's talking about. This the Lord, this master, he calls his steward and he says, "Okay, I want you to make sure that you give the food, that all the other servants have their food at the proper time. Make sure they get their three meals a day. That's your job." All right. And he says he's faithful and he's wise when he does that, okay? He says, "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." So the Lord's going to come back and he's going to be looking to see whether or not that servant is out distributing the food to the other servants, right? Okay? But that could speak of the plan that he has for any of our lives. He gives you an assignment. He gives you a plan. He gives you a purpose and a plan, and he reveals that plan to you. The question is, will we be faithful to be carrying out that plan and executing that plan when he comes back? As he said, he's going to be blessed. He said, "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. What's going to happen to him? He said he's going to make him ruler over all he has. He's going to reward him. All right. But then the Lord gives the other another case, another scenario to this situation in verse 45. But he said, if that servant says in his heart, my master's delaying it. He's not coming back for a long time. And he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk. What's he doing? He's shirking his responsibility. He's not fulfilling the plan and the assignment that his master gave him. And he says, I'm just going to do my own thing. And he begins, instead of distributing food to his fellow servants, he begins to abuse them. He begins to eat and drink and be drunk. And he says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him at an hour when he is not aware. He's going to catch him by surprise. And things are not going to go well for that servant if that happens. And so again, what's the motivating factor here? The motivating factor is my master's coming back. And I don't know when he's coming back, but I know he's coming back. And I'm going to be faithful to continue to do what he's shown me to do until he does come back. It was that consciousness of his master coming back kept that servant steady, fulfilling his assignment. And the consciousness that Jesus is coming back and us living with that consciousness and with that awareness will keep us steady following God's plan for our lives. And if we do that, and as we do that, when he comes back, we're going to be blessed. Amen. We're going to be rewarded. Praise God. All right. And so that's what Paul was talking about when he says all who eagerly look forward to his appearing are going to get this crown of righteousness as well. Praise God. And so we'll wrap it up with one more parable that Jesus told. Jesus told in Matthew 25, he told the parable, what we call the parable of the talents. And the talent is a measure of money in this parable. But these talents illustrate not only money and material resources, but they illustrate the gifts and they illustrate the abilities that God entrusts into our lives, and he expects us to take those gifts that he's given them. Catch this is important. He expects us to take the gifts that he's put in us and the abilities and the resources. He expects us to connect those with the plan that he has for our life. Okay, Lord, you've given me this gift of being able to do this. Now, what's your plan for me to use that? How do you want me to use this gift? You know, we look at the lives of some of the, especially, you know, years ago in the 50s, people like Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and some of those guys, you know, they all grew up singing in church. And we look at, you know, you look at the course of, and the direction that some of those guys went and with that incredible charisma and incredible singing talent, and what would have happened if they had truly used that for the Lord, you know, and given that to God. Well, God wants us to whatever gift, you know, you may not be Elvis, but whatever gift that God has given you, whatever abilities, whatever resources, connect that. Seek to, okay, Lord, how do I connect that with what you've called me to do? With what your plan is, because I assure you, I promise you, they're connected. God's not going to gift you in an area over here and then say, oh, well, I want you to do this over here. No, they're going to be connected, right? Does that make sense? Okay, so here we go. Matthew 25, verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. What's like that? The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So who's that man traveling to the far country? That's the Lord, isn't it? That's the Lord. And to one of his servants, he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, after when? A long time, all right? After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and did what? Settled accounts with them, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, okay? So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done. He didn't have to say to him, well, you're done. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you only gave me 2. You gave the other guy 5. No, he didn't compare himself with the other guy. And we shouldn't compare ourselves. Well, Lord, if you had given me this gift, then I would really serve you. Lord, if you had anointed me and gifted me to do that, then I would really serve you. No, we better recognize what gifts he has given us and serve him with those and use those. Amen? All right. He said, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. And again, he didn't compare, oh, well, the other guy gained 5. You only gained 2. No, he doubled. The guy with 5 doubled what was given to him. The guy with 2 doubled what was given to him, right? I gained 2 more. His Lord said to him, now look, the reward is exactly the same. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The commendation was the same from the one that had 5 and the one that had 2. Well done, good and faithful servant. All right? So God's not looking. Don't compare yourself with other people. Oh, well, they've got this or they've got that or they can do this or they're so gifted there. No, recognize the gifts that you have and be faithful with those. Because that's what we're going to give an account for. We're going to give an account. I'm not going to give an account for what somebody else did. I'm going to give an account for what I did. And if I was faithful with what God gave me to do and the gifts that he entrusted to me, was I faithful with that? And you're going to be the same. The gifts that he's given to you, he's put in you, you're going to give an account for that. Amen. All right. Let's go to the next guy, the guy that got the 1. Okay, this guy had it all wrong, unfortunately. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. Look at verse 25, the first 4 words there. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what's yours. Well, I'm giving you back what you gave me. At least I didn't mess up. At least I didn't lose it. Here's your 1 talent back. Was his master happy about that? Not hardly. See, the man that received the 1 talent, he was fearful. He said, I was afraid. He was afraid he'd mess up. And so he did nothing. He went and hid his talent. And again, he's thinking, well, at least I didn't mess up. At least I didn't lose it. He thought he was doing the safe thing, but his master wasn't happy about that. Verse 26, it says, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. At least you could have gained me some interest if you weren't going to go out and really use it and try to double it. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. The key point that we need to see in this is this. We don't need to be afraid about messing up. Number one, we don't need to minimize what God's given us. That man minimized, well, I've only got one and I can't do much with this anyway, so I'm just going to sit on it. And that's what we do a lot of times. We all, I'm just going to sit on this. Nobody will appreciate it anyway. It's not really that important. It's not really going to make that big of a difference. That's not true. It is. Whether it makes a big difference outwardly or not, you're still going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account for that, for what He gave you, for the gifts that He gave you, for the resources that He gave you. All right. And so we don't need to be fearful about missing God's plan. You know, some people are so fearful about that. When you talk about things like this, people just get paranoid. Oh, what does God want me to do? What does He want me to do? And we get so fearful about that. And God doesn't want us to be fearful about that. Again, what He wants you to do is in keeping with the gifts He's put in you. It's in keeping with the desires that He's put in you. What do you like to do? What do you enjoy doing? What do you thrive at? That's in keeping with the plan that He has for your life. Again, He's not going to gift you over here and give you desires over here and then ask you to do something over here. It's going to be in keeping with the desires He's already put in your heart, especially if you seek Him, because the Bible says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. I believe that's a twofold application. Yes, He will fulfill the desires that you have, but when we're delighting ourselves in God, when we say, Lord, I want to follow Your plan, He'll put the desires in you that are in keeping with His plan for your life. It's really a lot simpler than we've made it to understand and follow the plan that He has for our lives. Amen. I remember just personally, and the key for me, I keep going back to that, but that was such a turning point in my life. It's when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And almost immediately, I had a desire to share the Word of God, to teach and to minister. I wasn't qualified to do too much, but it was there. And I remember I drove by one of the first places that I ever shared a message was, believe it or not, First Baptist Church in Dawsonville. It used to be right on the corner there, right where Highway 9 and Highway 53 bears off, going east, coming toward Gainesville. And it's right in that, you know where that's at, Danny, right in that, well, I think it's Presbyterian Church now, I don't know, because First Baptist built on that down the road. But a gentleman named Minor Martin was the pastor there at the time, and he was friends with the guy, John Hall, that had started the Bible study where I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And John was talking to the pastor, and he said, you know, I've got a group of young people that are really getting on fire for God. And Minor said, well, have them come up and share. We'll do a, I'm not sure who all was there, but it was on a Sunday night. I remember that. And I wasn't even planning on sharing anything, but I remember that just being in my room, just praying, and before going up there that evening. And the Lord put a message on my heart. He put something in my heart to share. So almost immediately, that I started getting that. And so I ended up sharing something that night. And I'm sure it was just like 5 minutes or whatever. But then when I went on, that was at the end of my senior year in high school was when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. So then I went to junior college, and when I was there, we organized Bible studies and started, sharing in these. I found it very difficult to concentrate on my regular studies and my academics, because all I wanted to do was do Bible studies, teach Bible studies and organize those. So that gift was there from right after I got filled with the Holy Spirit. So that if you'll draw near to God and if you'll seek Him, then that'll start coming alive in you, what He wants you to do. And And so, again, it's very broad and very wide at the beginning. And then as you continue to follow God, then he gets more specific with the plan that he has for your life. So don't be afraid that you're going to miss it. Just start following. Just start walking. And have confidence that he can speak to you and that he can lead you and place you in the center of his will. Praise God. And seek to know his plan. And be determined that, Lord, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to fall away. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. And I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to finish my race. And he's not called everybody to go to Africa. He's not called everybody to be in full-time ministry. But whatever he's called you to do, he can make it real to you. And just be faithful doing that. You know, be faithful in that. And have peace that he's leading you in that. One final scripture that I'll leave you with, John 10, verse 27. I love this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Isn't that good? That's Jesus talking. He said, are you one of his sheep? If you've invited him into your heart, then yes, you are. In fact, he said this in John 15. He said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. I chose you. Praise God. So you're his sheep. You hear his voice. He knows you. He said, I know them, and they follow me. Praise God. Why don't we say that? Just make this confession and just make this, Katie, you're writing it down right now. That's awesome. Make a confession out of this and say this over your life on a regular basis. Just say this after me. I am his sheep. I hear his voice, and I follow him. I am his sheep. I hear his voice, and I follow him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray.